Oh, hello there. Welcome back to The Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
I'm Ryas Hall.
Hi, Ryas.
Hi, Monty.
I feel like it's been a few weeks since we recorded an episode.
It has been.
That would explain it then. Thank God. Well, I thought I had lost time. Or gained time? I thought I'd gained time.
No, if we gained time, we'd have more time to record episodes. Mm.
So here's the thing. We've both been really busy the last few weeks, and also, there hasn't been a lot to talk about.
Yeah, mostly there hasn't been much TV.
Well, there's been TV, just not, you know, our kind of TV. You know, we're very selective.
Apparently there have been shows on that were good.
Well, we watched American Vandal, and we really liked that.
I did like American Vandal. That was a lot of fun.
Not reality TV, though.
No.
We're also working through Mindhunter, also not reality TV.
I'm enjoying that.
And I think we ought to get back into Riverdale. We're like 3 or 4 episodes into that. I think it's really good.
Yeah, we're getting through season 1 of Riverdale very slowly. But yeah, we'll pick up another couple of those this week.
But here's the thing. Really, the only actual show we've been watching is Project Runway. And for the last 3 weeks, it's been lurching towards its finale. And finales of these shows, I think, kind of stink.
What do you mean they stink?
Well, like, take Project Runway. We're down to, like, 4 people or 5 people for the last 2 episodes. They've already made their clothing, so we veer off from the regular format. And there's a lot more house visiting and a lot less sewing.
Right, right, because it's the last chance they have to make us, the audience, like these people.
I did like these people, actually.
I know, I liked them already.
The final 5 people on Project Runway were Kenya, Ayana, Margarita, Brandon, and Kentaro. And I have nothing against any of those people. I kind of got mad at Margarita partway through the season, but she seems perfectly nice.
She's fine. She doesn't design clothes I like, but very few people do.
Yeah. Kenya was... All right, so they did that thing where, who are we going to send to the New York Fashion Week? It's everybody! Just like every year. What a surprise!
Yeah.
And then you get there, oh, but you're going to have to send 2 looks down, then we're going to make a surprise cut, just like every year. This time it was Kenya who was cut. I like Kenya. I think that was probably the right decision.
Yeah, I agree. The clothes that she sent down were this... I'm not sure what color it was. It was kind of a...
It was
mauve-ish pink.
I'd say salmon.
No, salmon's got more life to it. It was mauve.
This was a case where the dread word matronly came out, and I thought it was completely correct.
Yeah, those clothes looked matronly.
Which
is a perfect... matronly has a perfectly good market.
Sure, there are matrons. They gotta dress like something.
Exactly. Older ladies need nice clothes to wear, too.
But they're kind of leaning more artsy this season, what with Kentaro and Brandon both being fast-tracked to the finale.
Those guys.
Right. Here's the thing about Brandon. I don't dislike Brandon. He seems perfectly nice. But I do not like the type of clothes he makes, and I wish he demonstrated more range on the show. Having said that, what he put out was so consistently beloved by the judges that I can't fault him for continuing to do it. Like... The judges love big, weird, shapeless things with a lot of extraneous straps coming off, so of course you're going to keep doing them.
Exactly. They like the overly sized, ridiculously deconstructed men's shirt, and Brandon is just the guy to give it to him.
So, going in, I was thinking, I don't want Brandon to win, partly because I don't like his clothes, and partly because I feel like said... boring story for the season where the obvious front runner the entire time ends up winning, which happens sometimes. Like Christian Siriano was obviously the fastest and the best, and he won, and everybody was fine with that. But Brandon did not win.
No, despite the fact that he made his entire collection out of matching fabric covered with flamingos.
A flamingo print.
He used a bright pink flamingo print fabric, and then
he muted it,
dyed it, and acid washed it, and did terrible things to it.
His color scheme ran the gamut from beige to light pink.
Yeah. And it was actually lawn furniture fabric originally, and I don't think it ever stopped being lawn furniture fabric.
Yeah. He did a fine job. I wasn't surprised by any of it.
It was certainly, you could tell it was all from the same collection, yep. though.
And Margarita got into the finale. She had, like, a heartbreaking side story of being from Puerto Rico, which was going to get hit by a massive hurricane two mm-hmm. days after Fashion Week.
Right, so she's in Fashion Week calling her parents, and they're like, well, we don't have electricity, but we're still okay. And then you don't know.
Yeah.
If her, and then calling to see if they can make it to the show. And yeah. So that was suspenseful. And her family are okay, but they lost part of their house. But part of their house is better than losing all of their house.
And I really liked her approach to the finale where she said the judges were kind of, in my opinion, snobbish with their... Oh, that's resort wear. What is this? Miami. sorry. I got too into character.
Is that what happened?
You can see it on the waveform. I can
see it on the waveform that you got way too into character.
That's a plug-in for that. But she said, you know what? I like these really bright colors. That's who I am as a designer. I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And also... she was the only one to do a lot of color, so I thought it really and helped
it
out.
It very much was resort wear. It was the kind of things you would see a parrot wearing, yeah. I think, color-wise.
Well, it's weird because a lot of her things had big spangly birds on it, so you're suggesting a parrot would have an oversized shirt?
No, they had big spangly fish on them. Oh, I didn't right, see any right. birds. It was big spangly fish. It was a lot of bedazzling. It was a lot of yellows and bright reds and... But, man, she made a trench coat that that was insanely striped that I was absolutely in love with because it was so ridiculous.
She also had the big wow moment of the whole show.
Oh, that's true. She had a model.
Jasmine, the largest of the models, she came out in what looked like a dress but then ripped off the skirt and she's in...
a swimsuit.
Gasp. And she looks great.
Yeah. It's just we do not see a lot of plus-size models on the runway ripping the bottom half of their clothing off.
Yep.
And it was awesome, and she got a standing ovation, which is amazing.
A standing ovation from the judges. And also, she leaned so hard into the theme of the season of body inclusivity.
Right, yeah.
I thought she did a really good job.
It was a great strategic move, and it looked good.
Yeah. Then there was Ayana, who's... line was my favorite. I was hoping she would win.
I was hoping she would win, too. I really like her stuff. She's got that whole... her theme, is that she wants to make modest clothing.
Which, coming into the season, I was worried about because I was like, ugh, this is going to be boring stuff for her religion. It wasn't. Her stuff looks so great.
It was great. I would wear that if I were tall and thin.
She was doing interviews where she had a hijab and then over it a backwards baseball cap.
I saw that her family was wearing that too. Maybe that's a thing now.
Maybe
that's to keep the idiots from ripping the hijab off when you're on the bus.
Yeah, because the idiots themselves will also have backwards baseball caps. They'll be confused about whether they're for or against you.
Exactly.
It probably depends on what team is on the baseball cap.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Her stuff, I thought, looked great. It was very elegant.
It was elegant. It had nice ruffles. It moved beautifully. She did a suit that I thought was great looking.
She didn't win, but she was my favorite.
She was mine, too.
And then the winner was Kentaro.
Which was a shock to me.
It was. Because
throughout the all the pre-fashion show nonsense... Kentaro was getting yelled at because his clothes were not cohesive.
Now, that's because, in my opinion, in the pre-show test, they send out two looks. So you can send out two looks that are exactly the same and get dinged for too cohesive, or send out two different looks that just represent two things you like. And Kentaro decided, I'm just going to send down two things I like.
Right, and they were like, I don't understand how these clothes could fit together. And it's like, if you have a clothing spectrum and one end is white, and then the middle part of the fashion show is gray, and then the last part is black, but you only send out the black and the white, people are like, well, those don't go together. Yeah. No, because it goes with the piece that was showed before it, which was a dark gray.
And in fact, Kentaro has a clear point of view. And if he sends out 10 looks, you'll look at them all and go, oh, I understand this designer and the sort of things he likes to make.
Also, I felt he was just showing off when he told everybody that he composed the music that his models were walking to.
Like his clothes, the music was kind of formless and didn't have a lot of notes in it.
No, it had a lot of chords in it and some discord. It was fine. It was perfect for what it was used for.
I didn't think Kentaro was going to win. I didn't pick Kentaro to win. Said that, I like Kentaro a lot, and I'm not mad at him winning.
I like Kentaro a lot too. He made me laugh a lot this season. I really liked that him and Brendan became great friends because their designs were so different.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both very into perfect tailoring.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Well, Brendan's into perfectly tailoring his clothes to his vision and then putting a model inside the clothes who may or may not match what's going on the outside.
My favorite piece of Kentaro's collection was something that I like to call the big bag of sadness.
Describe it.
Okay, so it was like a giant tool sack with armholes, so it's transparent, that he has wrinkled up and removed threads from so that it's kind of pulled tight here and there, and it's just like a big cloud around the model. I really liked it, despite the fact that I named it the Big Bag of Sadness.
It's such a statement.
It is. Say,
I'm putting this out. This is on purpose. You can tell from my other clothes that I do things precisely.
Right here. I have a goth bag of sadness.
I have precisely done this sloppy thing for a precise effect.
Uh-huh.
And I liked that a lot.
I liked it. It was I thought it was a hilariously great piece of clothing. I don't know if I would wear it, because, as you know, being a goth, I already have several bags of sadness in my house.
So, that was the end of this season of Project Runway. I thought they were really lucky that Georgina Chapman was never a guest judge after the Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Yeah, poor Georgina.
Because this was all recorded well before that, and,
right,
and she's on the roster. She could easily
She's normally
up.
On the show, but...
Instead, you had, like, Jessica Alba as the guest judge on the finale, which I think is so difficult because you don't know these designers. Like, the other judges are looking at Brandon's stuff going, yes, I see. Lots of drawstrings, lots of strap. Yeah, oh, he's done this thing. I understand perfectly. And she's looking at it going, what is that?
I don't know.
Not that extremely, but the surprise of the sort of thing Brandon does was not a surprise to the judges.
Right.
The thing I did not like about the finale is that we didn't get to see my favorite thing, which is Zach Posen jumping up to finger the seams and report on how accurately things were done.
That's true. He just knew everything was well made. Everything was beautiful. You could tell from looking at it from a distance it was great. He didn't need to go up and fondle the models this season, in this episode.
I will say, and I made this joke on Twitter, I think the actual winner of this season was Lyris, the model.
Mm-hmm.
Who,
she's the biggest model.
Is she? I thought Jasmine was bigger.
I think Lyris is bigger in that she is taller.
Okay.
She's a giantess.
But she is a great model. She was fantastic every single week. I think... It is not a coincidence that both she and Jasmine were chosen to be the, like, standout models right at the end during the final judging. Yeah. And I may not remember the designers from this season, but if I see Lyris in an ad campaign, I'm going to go, oh, that's Lyris. And I would not be surprised to see her get work off of this show.
I hope she does.
Because she sold some ridiculous outfits.
She did. One time they dressed her up like a cupcake with a giant bow, and she just worked it.
That was a great outfit. So, let me tell you about Curse of Oak Island.
Oh, is Curse of Oak Island back?
It is.
Have they found the money pit?
Maybe. This could be it.
Okay.
So,
tell me about Curse of Oak Island.
All right, we're 3 hours into the new season. The big drama is that... child of one of the regulars died, and that's very sad.
Oh, that's a shame. One of the brothers?
No. One of the other guys.
One of the construction guys or one of the regular guys that helps them work.
Well, there's the two brothers, Rick and Marty Lagina.
Uh-huh.
But then there's also the guy who lives on the island, and there's the other investors in their ridiculous company. So there's, I'd say, like 5 or 6 regulars.
Right.
And one of them has a son.
Who passed away.
Yes, who has been on the show a few times.
Right.
They're trying to, like...
He's been out. I know who you're talking about. I've seen him on the digs. And that's really, that really sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that he's gone.
Yeah.
But...
And they're doing a thing this season where they're trying to get the next generation involved more. Like, instead of sending Rick or Marty on every single thing, now they'll send, like, their nephews or something.
Okay.
Which, that's fine. Because there's two things they do on this show, just to catch people up who don't know the Curse of Oak Island.
Oh, yes, please. Give us a little recap on what happens on Curse of Oak Island.
There's two things that happen. One is they look for treasure on Oak Island, a place where somebody supposedly saw something a couple hundred years ago.
Right.
The other thing is they go around Canada or sometimes Scotland and try to learn history. Because maybe it was Templars, so let's go to a place where there were Templars once.
Okay.
And nothing ever comes of these things. In this case, all right, there is a guy that owned a plot of land on this island. He was a former slave and then became a British loyalist.
Right, and this happened 200 years ago.
Yeah, like 17...
1700s, okay.
Yeah. And he bought this land from another guy who was probably a privateer.
Right.
And they went out and met the guy who had this guy's sea chest. And he
the privateer's sea chest, yeah. Not the slave guy's, right. Not the ex-slave's sea chest.
And it
okay.
had neat documents in it, like, here's the deed of sale for his boat, or here's stuff,
okay.
stuff like that.
Well, that's cool.
That is cool, except they kept saying, a sea chest? You mean like a treasure chest? Which... It is in the sense that both are wooden boxes, but this
that have been on board ships.
This does
wooden boxes have been on board a ship treasure
right.
chest.
Well, this is not the kind of treasure chest they're looking for because it has things of actual value in it. Like this is ephemera from hundreds of years ago, and it's perfectly preserved.
Oh, that's amazing! So it's like the ship's log and such.
Yeah. Like this stuff.
Well, that's really cool. I would much rather look at that than a pit, an empty hole that they've dug in the ground.
Well, good news, they're not just digging one hole.
They
went to the place where the money pit, that's what they call it, probably was if it existed. But it's been lost. So just to catch people up, a few hundred years ago, some kids saw somebody probably burying something on this island. They came back the next day and it was all filled in. They came back a few years later and started digging. They allegedly, none of this is true, by the way, allegedly, a certain distance down, they found a layer of wood planks. Then 10 yards farther down, a layer of stone. And then they found a mysterious stone with markings. And then they came back the next day and it was all filled with water because of underwater booby traps or something.
Well, it's an island. It probably has a pretty...
Underwater booby traps, I agree.
Okay, sorry.
So... Over the next few hundred years, people have been digging this place up so much that nobody knows where the original money pit was. And the only thing they ever find, if they're lucky, is evidence from previous digs.
Right, because people have been digging there for a while.
And what have they found? Nothing. So what they're going to do now is dig 40 holes in a grid, each going all the way down to the bedrock.
Okay.
And once they do that, they are going to know what's down there.
Now, have they found anything down there? I remember last season they saw a shiny thing.
That's in a different spot.
Oh, okay.
Because people have been on this island so long, they started digging holes just wherever they felt like.
Sure.
Because the light's better over here. Classic vaudeville joke. And there's this one hole that goes down past the water table and then into a cavity down at the ground, down underwater. And they think there's something down there. And occasionally they send down these cameras or divers. And here's the thing. This is all a huge waste of time. They're never going to find anything. But the amount of effort and technical expertise that is going into this is...
Seriously, they have got people... They built a road this year.
Yeah, the road washed away because it was a rough winter. They built a new road. And they've got this incredible camera they put down in that one hole, and you could see everything down there.
Oh, yeah, they had a really good camera. I did see that part.
And these 40 holes that they're going to dig, just the equipment is huge and impressive, and the amount of effort they're going to is really great. They're not going to find anything. So, here's what they found so far.
You are a naysayer.
Nay, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Here's what they found so far. They've got a guy with a metal detector wandering around, and he found what's probably a coin. And a musket ball.
Could it possibly be a button? Or a piece of flat metal?
It could be a button.
But probably a coin.
Right.
And okay.
These 40 holes that they're digging in a grid, they've gotten two of them down, and they struck water.
That's proof of the underwater traps.
It's not.
Underwater traps.
So that's what's happened so far. They found a button. They put the camera down into the one hole, and they're digging some other holes.
But they saw some stuff when they put the camera down one hole. They saw that the thing that looked like a coat hanger.
Yeah, there's a thing that looks like it's probably a hook. And before you get too excited, keep in mind this hole was dug 50 years ago, and people have been sticking stuff in it ever since.
Okay. So, and when we say hook, we don't mean like a hook hand. We literally mean it looks like the top of a coat hanger.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep watching, and they're going to keep not finding anything. It's great. I love this show.
Wow.
Do we have anything to say about Ink Master Angels? It's still going?
Well, we're still watching it. I think it's an interesting thing to do for Ink Masters to choose their competitors with a different show.
Yeah. I think Kelly Doty is the breakout star of this show. I thought it was going to be Ryan Ashley, but Kelly's so good at saying, "You had 30 minutes left," with so much energy.
Yeah, she's got an energy. I like her a lot. I feel like here's the thing. It's nice to see the women on the show because they're not jerks to everyone like the men, like the male guys are.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the people that they're judging that are going to be on the show are jerks. They're all jerks.
They're clearly jerks. Required to be jerks. I say that because they have the obligatory, "I'm going to win. You shouldn't even be here. My tattoo's so much better than you." Oh, yeah. And then they announce a winner. And then immediately that act gets dropped and like, "So it was really good to compete against you. I'll see you tomorrow, okay?"
Yeah, that's true. I understand that the show wants them to be jerks. I get that. But I don't know if it's going to make watching Ink Master any more pleasant.
It's going to.
Because at least now I know who these people are. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He's the guy that did the realistic frog."
I will say this. I have liked a much higher percentage of the tattoos on this show than I do on Ink Master.
Oh, that's true.
Like, almost all of these, whether they are the winning tattoo or the losing tattoo, I don't think someone's going home and regretting their decision.
No, I haven't seen any tattoos that people are like, "Oh, man, why did I get a tattoo from a magazine?" No, the tattoos are all pretty good. I really like the ladies a lot.
I'm really worried about Gia. She's missed a few episodes.
Gia has missed a lot of episodes, and she has had cancer in the past and has a lot of health problems related to that. So we hope she's okay.
Yeah.
She does show up to shows every once in a while, but yeah, sounds like she's having a rough time. Get better, Gia.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
As you know, they announced the cast for All Stars. Well, they announced 9 of the 10.
Right. And I've got a list of all of them here so that we can go through them.
We have done some research, which means we watched a bunch of drag performances on YouTube. And that is good fun, and I recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look these people up. Our
methodology is usually that we want to see them performing live rather than their music videos or stuff.
Right.
And that's mostly because their music videos are uniformly awful.
The music videos, I think the music videos are done as part of a contract that they have to do after they're off the show. I think World of Wonder contracts them that they have to do a music video and release an album.
Yeah, I just listened
of dance music, because some of them are really terrible.
I just listened to a song on Spotify by Bob the Drag Queen.
Oh, Bob, no.
Where Bob and Alaska are throwing shade at each other. It's not what Bob does.
No, but I feel like it's a contractual thing. Like, the same thing with the RuPaul's touring shows. I feel like that's part of, like, if you do okay and you don't leave the show in disgrace.
Or, let's say, become Willem. In disgrace after the show, like certain people.
Willem.
Well, actually, Willem also left the show in disgrace. I'm a huge Willem fan, by the way.
I'm a huge Willem fan, too, but
because
I know that there's been, after his departure from World of Wonder, he had some unpopular opinions and probably will not be welcomed back into the fold.
But I love that, because so many people have to treat Rue and Drag Race as holy and perfect. And to see somebody gleefully burning bridges like that.
Yeah, it is really charming. And I love Willem because Willem is funny and bitchy.
And this feels legitimately subversive, which, much as I love Drag Race, I think it presents possibly too clean and nice a depiction of the
seamy
underbelly of drag.
Agreed.
So, who do we have?
Well, our first competitor will be someone we remember very well from season 9. That's going to be Asia.
Aja.
Sorry. Aja is 23 years old and from Brooklyn, New York.
Aja was one of my favorites going into season 9 and then crashed and burned, partly because of being a huge jerk to people backstage, which I think was out of jealousy and
nerves.
And also, Aja could not apply makeup to save her damn life.
Yeah, she has very, she's got rough skin, but that's not an excuse for those lips.
Listen, this is drag. You can paint your face with clown white and then draw on a pretty girl face. But Aja's lips look weird when she's in drag.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I continue to believe that Aja is very talented, and I've seen some amazing lip sync performances.
And also, I believe that Aja has been touring with the show, and from what I've seen of her looks this season, she has gotten that makeup thing down.
Yeah. All of these people, and especially the ones who were on earlier seasons, have had plenty of time to address whatever flaws they had last time.
Right.
Which I really like.
Our second competitress, I made up a word, and
very
it's awesome,
nice.
Is 35 years old and from her own hometown of Seattle, Washington.
Woo!
And that is Ben De La Creme. Ben's style of drag is kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nice.
50s, 60s housewife drag?
Yeah.
Which is, and it's lovely, and he does a great job.
But, like, pretty 50s, 60s housewife.
Yeah. Very mid-century modern drag.
Yeah. As I would expect from a Seattle queen, very steeped in your Bette Davis movies.
Yay! Bette Davis movies!
I mean, specifically your Bette Davis movies. Bette Davis movies from Scarecrow Video.
Probably, yes,
right?
I'm sure.
Ben's problem last time, I'm not sure what it was. Just didn't have the killer instinct, I feel like it.
Too nice.
Yeah.
Although he just finished a run of a sold-out Halloween show at one of the bigger theaters in town.
Yeah.
And it was based on the movie The Haunting, and one of my friends was in it, and I didn't get to go see it.
Aw.
But I heard it was amazing.
Ben,
so there's that.
Ben is one of the people you expect to kill it on Snatch Game. By the way, there's no excuse for anyone not to have a perfect Snatch Game plan this time. You all know what is coming.
You know what's going to happen. You've got your character and you have practiced it at home.
You have at least two options, I would say. And you have some jokes to say as that character.
Yes. Next up, we have somebody that I remember from season 8. That is Shishi Devane, who is 32 years old and hails from beautiful Shreveport, Louisiana.
Leans on that Louisiana a lot, as I remember.
Yeah, well,
I also remember, and
who hasn't leaned on their Louisiana every once in a while?
Well, I have to lean the other direction sometimes, otherwise I get a limp.
Well, yeah.
As I remember, Chi-Chi had a lot of interview segments where she said entertainingly mean things about people, but also came off as a little bit dumb.
Yes, I remember her seeming like kind of an idiot. But stupidity is no bar to a career in television.
Or for a drag character, like.
No, these were
Well,
out of character interviews.
that's the thing. A lot of these people, especially as we get farther down the list, weren't sure how much they should be in character. Like,
Yeah, that's
I
true.
have my character of Chi Chi Devane. Should I be doing that character in this ridiculous skit that RuPaul's writers came up with? Or should I do
Just do something else.
a new character for that?
Yeah, that's an ongoing, that's a decision people have to make.
Yep.
Next up is a someone who I remember nothing about despite having looked her up and watched her videos recently. And that is Kennedy Davenport from season 7. Kennedy's 35 years old and hails from beautiful Dallas, Texas.
I also remember, I mean, I know what Kennedy looks like. I don't remember anything about Kennedy Davenport. And like you, I also did the research.
I seem to remember her being kind of a pageant queen. Oh, wait. She is the super acrobatic one, I think, who does the handstands and such.
Okay, here's the thing about
Unless that's
handstands.
Morgan McMichaels.
Death drops are super exciting in the club. Half your competitors can also do death drops. Unless you're going full Alyssa Edwards and coming out on a unicycle juggling torches, acrobatics are not that great anymore.
Yeah, they're not. It's like the it acrobatics are the new ripping your wig off.
Yeah. Like, as people are going to be doing three death drops per lip sync for your life, have something else in the chamber.
Next up, we have someone that I classify as a complete weirdo and therefore love. And that is Milk. Milk is 29 and from New York City. Was on season 6 briefly, but got eliminated pretty early because too weird.
The judges were not crazy about the decision to have a beard during a
Oh, that
lips
was it. He.
during a drag performance.
I thought it was fabulous. Also, Milk has been doing a lot of male modeling for various fashion houses
Yeah, Milk looks amazing
and
out of drag, by
is
the way.
gorgeous, both in and out of drag.
Well, in
Mostly out of drag because in drag,
yeah.
there's a bunch of craziness going on, and I love that.
In drag, Milk is going for more of a club kid, maybe Commedia dell'arte thing with the big fake nose. It's
Yeah.
a rare drag queen that goes uglier when they're going into drag, but I think that's what Milk is doing.
It's one of my favorite things that drag queens do,
Yeah.
as you know from my favorite drag queens.
Absolutely. Well, who are your favorite drag queens?
I am very fond of Miss Dina Martina
Sure.
and Miss Jackie Hill
Sure.
and Ursula Android.
Sure.
Those are some Seattle drag queens who do a lot of weird underground type stuff and are super fun. As far as pretty drag queens go, there is a lady named Sylvia Ostafermore who is fabulous. She does a 50s housewife vibe, kind of like Ben De La Creme,
Except not as glamorous.
but a little bit less of a glamorous.
Yeah, more actual housewifey.
Yeah, I love Sylvia. Sylvia has a monthly show called Bacon Strip. Hey, they serve bacon
Sure.
on a tray, and it's a lot of fun. It's one of the best drag shows or drag experiences in Seattle if you ever come to town and
Yeah.
want to see it.
So I think normally I would say Milk is too weird and artsy for Drag Race, but keep in mind, RuPaul picked these queens to be on All Stars, and Milk is not the only weirdo artsy queen there.
No, we're gonna get to others.
So this is Ru using his platform and power to kind of shape the way people see drag,
Yeah.
which I really like about the show. Like, at the beginning of Sharon Needles' season, everyone was like, "Oh, Sharon Needles, you're weird looking. You can't win. You're a booger queen. Blah, blah, blah." Sharon Needles is great. RuPaul says so. Everybody respects Sharon Needles.
Let's see. We've got a Morgan McMichaels from Ontario, California. Again,
From season
from
two.
season two.
That's the first season where they had Snatch Game. That was the first season where they didn't. I think season one, they were using the boy names out of drag and the drag names in drag. And then season two, yeah. they dropped that. So Morgan McMichaels has been in the Drag Race world forever and has had plenty of time to shine up the act and sit at home sourly and watch other people and say,
I should have done that.
Now that I know what the show is like, I would kill this.
Uh-huh. Same thing with Shangela. Shangela is from season two and briefly season three.
And also, even more briefly on season four, I think she came out in another box and was blown up.
Oh, yeah. And she's Shangela? She's Shangela. She has upped her performing skills dramatically, judging by what I was looking at on the internet.
Well, although she was on early seasons, she has stuck around. Like, hallelujah, stuck. And like she's
tragically, it did.
Well, she promises she's learned to sew. I'm most interested in seeing what Morgan and Shangela do as people who have been off the show for so long
and coming have had back. Time to hone their skills.
Yeah.
And there's two more competitors, both of whom I absolutely love. One is Thorgy Thor, who is 33 and is from season 8 and is a colossal weirdo who I adore.
Another person who I would, if I saw their act, I would start by saying performance artist and then say, oh, and I guess drag too.
She did a really great, one of the things we watched online was her doing a Carol Channing lip sync to the song Jazz Baby.
Oh, which, by the way, a horrifying song.
Which is a horrifying song made even more horrifying by her fabulousness.
Yes, she did what you're supposed to do when lip syncing Carol Channing.
Which is just
lean into the horrifying campness of it all.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be a kinder, gentler Carol Channing.
No.
Nope. You just got to go for it.
So, and Thorgy Thor, just like Milk, the fact that Rue is putting them on this season means that Rue is embracing the more challenging artsy side of drag, but I'm also not sure how much Thorgy is going to modulate things to fit the Drag Race aesthetic.
Right. Well, there's also Trixie Mattel.
Woo! Trixie Mattel.
Trixie Mattel is a lot of fun. I did not like her originally on her season because I did not get her look, but then I read an interview with her where she said that her goal is to fit makeup, so much makeup on her face that there is no place for more makeup, and she does that very well.
Now, Trixie is one of the people who demonstrated that you don't have to win this show to use it as a springboard for a new career.
Right.
The Trixie and Katya show just debuted on Viceland, an actual television show.
Right. Now, before that, it was a World of Wonder
web show called...
Web show. What was it called again?
That's capital UNHHH and then some lowercase h's after that. And that's just Katya and Trixie trying to crack each other up, basically.
Yeah, basically, they sit on a chair. They sit on chairs in a basement in front of a green screen and just talk really fast about random crap. They have a loosely chosen theme.
And then eventually it gets fed through a machine they got from MTV from the 1990s. Yes.
And they just throw up random visuals behind them. Whoever's doing the visual editing is... I don't care for that look, but it is very MTV early 90s. Lots of heads floating around and words appearing in the middle of the screen.
But I really like Trixie Mattel. I like what Trixie Mattel has been doing. I hope Trixie Mattel does well on this show. But what I like best is that Trixie has demonstrated being on the show is really all the publicity you need.
Then
it's your job to get out there and hustle.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You have to hustle it. So, of these competitors, who do you think are going to be the top four?
Top four, huh?
Yeah. Let's go with top four.
I think Shangela, Bendela, Trixie Mattella, and just because I want it to happen... Milk.
I want Thorgy.
All right. What's your top four?
Same thing except Thorgy instead of Milk.
All right.
Well, let me take a look here.
Like, I still like Aja. I don't think Aja's going to be top four.
I like Aja, but I think, yeah, Aja's the youngest.
Well, yeah, Aja is the youngest. Well, no, Trixie... No, you're... No, yeah, Aja's very young and hasn't had time to really absorb last season and figure out, here are my weaknesses, here's what I need to work on. But, like, when they do a wacky scene with horrible puns in it, Trixie Mattel knows to lean into that and shout the awful jokes directly at the camera.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much my top four. I hope that they at least make it long enough that I get to enjoy their nonsense.
Yeah. I'm still kind of mad at the first All-Stars season where Pandora Box was out episode one because they had that team thing.
Yeah, that was crap. Pandora Box is incredibly talented and funny, and I'd like to see more of that. I don't want the incredibly talented and funny people to go home first. I want your...
yeah, it's true.
Kennedys, your Chi-Chi.
I will say that for me, what I like in a drag queen is funny and smart, and I don't actually care that much about what they look like. I understand that...
Well, it depends. Yeah, but then again, there are people who are just fans of pageant queens who are all about how you look.
Right, but like Sharon Needles, I like how smart and funny Sharon Needles is, and then occasionally she'll do that like post-apocalyptic look, and I'm destroyed.
Yeah, okay.
But like somebody comes out, Fifi O'Hara... You look great. All right, you look great.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm coming from.
Yeah, you look great. Nice wig. So, yep, that's what we got here.
So, I think that catches us up, and we are back on schedule. So.
Yeah.
Project Runway is in its off season. We don't know if it'll ever be back because it was a Harvey Weinstein-produced show.
It'll be back. It does well enough that... It'll be back. They'll just find somebody else to produce it. Hopefully someone less horrible.
I will say, I personally am... I've tried. I'm not that interested in their All-Star seasons or their kids' seasons.
Yeah, me neither.
It's always weird. Like, the All-Star seasons, they have a different foreign model host and a different...
Yeah, it's an alternate universe situation. I don't want to get involved in it.
It's weird because, like, you don't have Tim Gunn. That's not Project Runway. And this is the All-Star. It's supposed to be better. So, but we will find things to watch and find things to talk about.
Oh, I just found my notes.
Oh, let's hear your notes.
Aja has gotten much better in makeup. Ben De La Creme is still adorable. Chi-Chi Devane has a... I remember having a huge ego. Am I wrong? Morgan McMichaels is smart and good at lip sync. Shangela has been working very hard. Thorgy Thor, still a weirdo. Yay.
She put a little circle around yay.
And Trixie Mattel has no interest in looking human.
Yeah, on the
those Trixie are my notes.
On the Trixie and Katya show, she has a very precise look that is completely insane, and it's great.
Yeah, it's definitely not an accidental look. It is definitely an on-purpose look.
I don't think she can get away with it too often on Drag Race.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
When does Drag Race start up again?
I don't know. January-ish, probably.
Oh, that's so far away.
I know.
What are we going to talk about until January?
The Curse of Oak Island.
Oh, you guys are in for such a great podcast.
Okay, bye.